Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome into the Illini Choir podcast. It is Jeremy Warner and Joey Wagner with you today. We got a lot to hit on, a little bit newsy of a week as Illinois football gets a couple commitments in a couple days. We'll talk about some potential Illinois football recruiting momentum. And Andre Stojakovic talked with us media at the NBA Draft Combine about his stay or go decision. People out there a little nervous. Should you be? We'll talk about it. Also, some updated rankings in the class of 2026 for 24/7 Sports. And it's good news for Illinois basketball. Quentin Coleman gets a fifth star. Xavier Zenz gets a fourth star. And Illinois, another marquee non-conference matchup with Duke. We'll talk about it all with Joey Wagner, who's been busier than me because he has been moving. How's it all going for you, Joe?
It is going. I'm ready to be done. A lot of painting, a lot of cleaning, a lot of moving. There's just house stuff that I never dealt with that you now get the opportunity to deal with. So I appreciate basically 2 weeks to go do my own thing and pop in to ramble about football every now and again.
Welcome to home ownership, Joey.
It's to have yard work again. It's such a weird thing. Now our yard is dug up because we got a new sewer line, but it's nice to have, like, to go out and mow the grass or to power wash after they did the yard. That was electric. I had so much fun. So I enjoy going outside. Like, I haven't turned my Xbox on in 2 weeks. I'm like, is this a new me? I don't know.
I mean, in the time we've known each other, I mean, especially in the time you worked here, the domestication level of Joey Wagner has gone through the roof. He's gotten engaged. He's got a house now. I don't even talk about what's next potentially for Joey Wagner down the line here.
A smoker, a pit boss. I'm trying to get a pit boss. That's what I need. No, but that's what's next down the line.
It is something. Like, because we are, let's be honest, you and I are house cats, right? Like, we have these white-collar jobs, just sitting at a computer, talking into microphones all day. So when you're able to go outside, feel a little manly, get a job done out there every once in a while, it does feel like a little accomplishing, doesn't it?
I put like a new door handle on the screen door and I thought, you know, like the, who do you think you are? I am. That's how I felt when I walked back in the house. It's like, all right. And someone's listening. It's like, this is the dumbest person I've ever talked to. And they're right.
Yeah.
Like, they are 100% right. I have no skills really just across the board. So to do that, I think this is fantastic.
Yeah. Kudos you guys who can move the earth, you know, operate heavy machinery and get every handyman job done. Like, you guys are the manly men out there. That's not us. So when we get one of those little wins, it's huge. Like, just going out there and grill, Joey. Like, that feels like you throw some meat on a grill and you fire that up for the family. You feel great about it.
Oh, that first pulled pork when I get this smoker is going to be it's probably going to be terrible, but I'm going to know that I did it. And I'm the one who made that terrible pulled pork. And there's value to that, man.
There is. All right, let's dive in. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to go through these a little quickly today. But, man, Illinois football recruiting been a little quiet. We've talked about that throughout the last couple months here, Joey. They lose, obviously, Cam Nolapati. You lose on a couple targets. Cameron Wagner obviously goes to Oregon. But in the span of just a couple days, a week here, Illinois has landed two of the top three offensive linemen in the class of 2027 in state. They get Mason Hallman on the weekend from Linkaway East, three-star, likely a guard at Illinois. Now this morning, Soren Pfeiffer, three-star out of Morton. He's a big 6'7", 300-pound. He's just 16 years old still, late into his junior year here. But two really good gets, two top 20 prospects in the state of Illinois. A good week for Bart Miller. And it feels like, Joey, it's like, okay, take a breath. Yes, Illinois can still recruit really well, really win some good battles. Morton had offers from Iowa, Indiana, Oregon. This is kind of like a reassuring week. I think that was kind of needed, you know, for it out there, just to win some of these battles. Like, all right, Illinois is still in a good spot, especially in state.
Yeah, and I think we should step back and acknowledge kind of how we got to that reassuring. Like, obviously, targets fell off the board, but I think the bigger thing for me was that April OV stretch didn't net anyone. And that is where it's like, we've seen this be a fruitful pre-June stretch of time. And when it didn't, it's like, okay, what's going on now? A lot of those guys, I think we can acknowledge, were long shots for Illinois. And you get there, you shoot your shot, you try. But because you didn't have any guys pop in that month, then it kind of became a little bit like, what's going on? And then you throw on top of it some of these guys who you were kind of lukewarm, maybe on the hotter end of lukewarm with, especially in state, start to fall off the board. You lose Lapati, and then it was like, okay, what's going on here? So that's kind of how you got to this point where you get two top 600 guys on the offensive line, and it's like, all right, this is kind of a go get a little bit of momentum going into next month, which we know is the big month in recruiting. And to just put in context, we were talking about it before we jumped on the pod. Mason Halliman, Soren Pfeiffer are two of the top five offensive linemen that Illinois high school offensive linemen by the composite score that Illinois has landed during the Bielema era. Like, these are good players and good offensive linemen. It just kind of came at the other end of what was a few misses, but now these are two really good kind of buzzworthy momentum generating guys to take in through the back end of May. Let's see if they maybe get another one or so, and then get into June where you know it starts to happen pretty quickly.
And I know it's easy to kind of focus on the top 10 in-state prospect. That feels like the dividing line for a lot of fans. Like, who's the great prospects? We've kind of gone over. Like, Mason Halliman in some years would be a top 10 prospect in-state. Justin Johnson in some years would be a top, in many years, would be a top 10 in-state prospect. But the state is so loaded that you're going to have Notre Dame and Ohio State and Alabama and some schools come in here and steal players from that. And it's hard for Illinois still to win some of those battles, like in Oregon with Cameron Wagner. But to put into context, top 600, these are all top 600 prospects, which for me, if I were doing the rankings, the top 600 players in the country would be all be four stars. Okay. Like, because that kind of is the same thing we do with basketball. I've said it before, the top 150 basically in basketball are four star prospects, yet it's like the top 300 in football. Even though there's six times more, it doesn't make any math sense to me. So for me, like, the top 600 are four stars. But in this class already, you have three from the state that are top 600 composite prospects. Now, that can change as more prospects are ranked, guys rise, maybe some Illini guys fall, but right now you have three. Last year you had three. In the last 5 years, you've had 11. To put that into context, before the 8 years before that run, Illinois had five top 600 prospects from the state. So top 600 composite in the country, okay? Now you have 11 over the last 5 years. It's just another way of showing, Joe, that some of the best prospects in the state, some of the guys who are top 600 prospects in the country, you're doing a heck of a lot better job of landing those prospects under Brett Bielema. I mean, Justin Johnson, Mason Holloman, Soren Pfeiffer, Nick Hankins, Nas Rankin, Davon Grant, Braden Trimble, Eddie Turk, Malik Elsey, Caden Fagan. You need to win more of those battles, and usually it leads to more wins when you land more of the state's best prospects. Even if those guys aren't your superstars, they're usually a pretty good hit rate on those guys making an impact on your program.
Yeah, they help win games, right? Like, those top 600 guys help win games. And to your point, I know you had mentioned this a few times, there are guys who aren't in the state's top 10 that have helped Illinois win 19 games in the last 2 years. And you know, we say all this, and I know, and I just want to be clear, because I know you and I aren't trying to say, oh, forget about, because like the last pod we talked about, hey, they got to find some momentum here. It's like, we're not trying to say, ah, don't worry about those guys. Who won elsewhere? Those guys are still misses. I mean, you still missed on some guys that you had an opportunity with in the state of Illinois, but you know, what recruiting is, right? Now it's about the next person, and the next two players who committed to Illinois are really, really good. And they're highly ranked guys who had power four offers. And you beat Iowa head-to-head for Mason Halliman, and you won a Big Ten recruiting battle for Soren Pfeiffer. Like, that is significant. So, like, yeah, I get it. And this is going to be a smaller class. So I think we also have to acknowledge that. And it's just in the sense of there's probably 10 more commits you would expect in this class. Ballpark, you know, obviously that's subject to change. But this is a pretty good foundation for a class that's going to be smaller by the numbers. I mean, the class is a third-ish filled right now.
Yeah, I think they'll probably be over 15. It's just hard to imagine that when you're making this big of a defensive change that you don't add that many, and you're probably going to have some attrition because does the defensive staff think this guy fits on the current roster? But I do think it's got to be more transfer-heavy offseason because of that. You got guys that can make an impact right away. But yeah, if you have a 15-man class, you still need to add quality. And that maybe you don't have quantity in this class, but the point is three quality gets in-state so far. And I think they're sitting among the top few for a lot of these in-state kids. The Bennett Conkey kid out of Geneva, who's kind of really come on here strong lately. You run a 10.25 in the 100-meter dash in high school, and you're going to get a lot of offers. Illinois is going to get him on campus here shortly. TJ Lewis, the running back out of Bolingbrook, already took an official visit. James Johnson out of Belleville East. Henry Sakalis out of Nazareth Academy. Owen Roberts out of York. These are all like top 40, top 45 prospects in-state, which is a loaded in-state class. So these are all Big Ten recruits that Illinois, I think, has a pretty decent chance of landing. MJ Woods, kid that's going to prep school in New Jersey, he's out of Chicago Public League. He's a defensive lineman that's visiting soon. So I think they're going to do really well in state of landing some power four battles. He just didn't get the Braden Parks, Cameron Wagner's four stars of the world, but you're getting quality players.
Yeah, and of course, like, that's the next thing with this. You want to see them get the Braden Parks, the Cameron Wagner's of the world, but when we've talked about how, you know, heavily trafficked Chicago is in terms of recruiting over and over and over. And then when you start stacking the talent like this class, and it's pretty honestly been a pretty good run of in-state talent the last two or three classes, definitely two classes. Like, there's been some high-end players that have come out of the state of Illinois. So now I think you look at this, Jeremy, and I don't want to get too far before we start talking a little bit more individually. Now you want to see some more defensive guys jump on board, because I think that would maybe you would take a breath and say, yes, this defensive staff is a new staff. You're starting to see them get some of these commitments. Now, that's, to me, a big deal. Like, the offensive line, those are really good offensive linemen, but you want to see maybe a defensive lineman, a linebacker, some sort of momentum on that side of the ball, because you are selling a little bit of a vision with this 3-3-5, and you are reestablishing some of the relationships that maybe existed before this turnover. Right? That's really what's going to be important, I think, in the month of June, is start to stack up some guys on maybe that defensive front seven.
Yeah, I don't think you're too concerned about, like, DB, linebacker, getting players that play in space. There's a lot of those guys out there. It's just how do they fit your scheme, and then, you know, can you develop them? The defensive lineman, you got to find guys. And that's what will be interesting. You've seen Jordan Thomas on the trail a lot of new offers out there, so I'm really interested to see what he can do after a quick turnaround, right? He gets thrown in here in February, March, and you got to go get some guys in this class, and it was really a reset on that defensive front, so I'm really fascinated to see who he can get over the next couple months. I do want to bring up Soren Pfeiffer. I think this is a perfect Barton Miller kind of guy. Number one, he seems to have little appetite, Joey, for the frills or attention involved in the recruiting.
His commitment post was the most offensive line. Hello, I'm going to Illinois. Thank you all for your support. And that's it.
A graphic of a helmet for Illinois. Not even a picture of himself or some fancy graphic or
nope.
No live announcement, no hat ceremony. Before 9 a.m. on a Thursday, he's announcing his commitment. Like,
Alex Palcheski levels.
Palcheski was like at midnight on a Wednesday. I remember my wife was like heavily pregnant. It's like, I get a text like, hey, this kid's committing soon. It's like, what? And he did it. He did it that night. It was unbelievable. But yes, like that's a perfect Bart Miller kind of guy. But then you turn on the tape, like, Bart loves massive human beings that are road graders in the running game, that drive people into the ground. That is Soren Pfeiffer. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brandon Hansen I wouldn't say White Knack. I think he's quicker footed than White Knack was, but reminds me a little bit of Brandon Hansen, just a big body, but he can move. He's got quick feet. I think he's got to keep working on his flexibility and technique. I think he'd be a great right guard. I think he's got the length to potentially play tackle, does have some foot quickness, but this is a road grader. This is a potential tone setter in the run game. So I'm interested to see what Bart can do with him, but this feels like a Bart Miller kind of player.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And like you kind of blend with him a little bit. You mentioned the foot quickness. You blend a little bit of that size. That like you're kind of merging the two different – like Barry likes, you know, as far as we're aware, likes some offensive linemen who can get out and move, and Bart likes them a little bit bigger. So Soren Pfeiffer kind of blends that ground a little bit and has a little bit of both to him. I know he's out there. I talked to his coach today, and – you know, he's a track guy, and he's a thrower, Jeremy, as you would have to imagine.
I would imagine he'd be running.
He does, though, his coach said, you know, he'll go out and work with some of the sprinters, just on some of that, exactly what you said, hip stuff, mobility, all of the things that go into being an offensive lineman. So he's an interesting guy, man. He's been on the radar for a while. He was 6'1", like 195 as a freshman, shot up there more as a sophomore. Like we say that, like that's some sort of small freshman. It's not a small freshman, but then he's grown into now this 6'7", you know, nearly 300-pound offensive lineman, 280, whatever. And now it's like, oh, yeah, he looks like an offensive lineman in the Big Ten. His coach was at Peoria High with, you know, that Kendrick Green era. And he said he reminds him, the comp for him, just in terms of where he's been, is Marcus Cox,
yeah,
who ended up going to Kentucky and has floated around some training camps in the NFL. And that's just to kind of give you a visualization, if you were familiar with that era of recruiting in downstate Illinois, central Illinois. So coach has seen it, man. His coach, Adam O'Neill, has been around. He's seen it, those great Peoria High teams. And yeah, he said he knew it was a sophomore. Soren was probably one of those guys. And who do you think the first call to Illinois was when you find a large in-state human being to put on the radar of college coaches?
One of the most valuable recruiters on the staff, right?
Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan is, we've said it a lot, and I hope people don't just gloss over it. You know, former longtime Metamora High School coach, the relationships that he has in the state, we just talked about, obviously there have been top end misses, but you kind of uncover some of these guys that have been very productive.
Casey Tolman, Matt Bailey,
Matthew Bailey.
Matt
Krasadich. You uncover some of those guys because of relationships, and Pat Ryan has those. And just wanted to shout him out because I know he does such a good job of bridging some of that communication. He's about as personable as you're going to find. And coaches know they can trust him and reach out to him and have that. Because at Iowa, for example, with offensive linemen, George Barnett, their offensive line coach, is very well tied in with the state. So it's like there's a lot of phone calls out there to have. So to know that the Illinois staff, not just Pat, but the staff entirely, is an outlet to make a phone call, like that's a big deal. And that's something that you've earned over this time of Brett Bielema at Illinois.
And I love that Brett Bielema kind of rewards him with the Pat Ryan honorary scholarship every year in the February signing period. I mean, he's hit on him. Matt Bailey, I know Matt Krasadich didn't have a great year last year, but he's made an impact, right? Like Jack Paris, they brought in last class, seems like he had a really good first year here. And then late in the cycle here, Jacob Harvey, you know, comes in, and Caden Considine, I know Brett Bielema was in on him too. So some of these in-state guys, they let Pat Ryan kind of have some say, and he pounds the table and tells kids to be patient sometimes, but obviously Soren Pfeiffer is one they got in early, and Bart did a really good job of recruiting him as well. They also,
what do the kids say, like, hold on, let him cook? Is that what Brett does in, like, January with Pat Ryan?
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what they add here coming up. A huge couple official visit weekends coming up. But also add to the 2026 roster, we mentioned it, Joey, earlier on a podcast. I had it in my position rankings earlier this month. Tight end was last on my position ranking, below defensive line, because I think there are more questions about tight end after Christian Abney than there are about defensive line, even though I'm concerned about how the defensive line can hold up in the Big Ten. I don't know if tight end is going to be a great position for you, because Christian Abney, good blocker. I think he's going to play a Tanner Arkin role really well. Then you got Davin Stoffel coming off a foot injury. Played a little bit last year, still has to prove himself at the Big Ten level as a starter caliber kind of player. Caden Fagan, loved the idea, right? haven't seen it yet, and he's never played this position before. So they go into the JUCO level. They were looking at the transfer portal as well, but they go and get B.J. Thurman, JUCO tight end. He has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Was just a freshman last year, 16 catches, 322 yards, 6 touchdowns. But he is different, Joey, than what they have in that room, because you think of Stoffel and Abney, kind of traditional Y tight ends, good blockers. You get Fagan's more kind of an H-back type of player. Thurman's more of that guy who can split wide, be the hybrid, kind of be the Cole Rusk potential replacement. Not as big as Cole yet. He's 6'4", about 230 pounds, but a fluid athlete, a guy who can get separation, a guy who can cause some mismatches in the middle of the field and be a receiving threat. There's just not a lot of those dynamic playmakers. Thurman's got to add some strength here, Joey. I think he's a physical and willing blocker, but in the Big Ten, he's going to have to add some strength, and that's what Tank Wright's got to do. So maybe it's more of a long-term guy, but he could make an impact early, just as a different flavor at that position.
Yeah, 6'4", 225, Power 4 offers from Ole Miss, Cal, Kansas State. This wasn't one of those, you know, late in the early summer flyers, that JUCO flyers that, frankly, we've seen Illinois take at times. I mean, it's flyer in the sense of you've got a quick adjustment period, right? But there are other Power 4 programs after him. And, yeah, we'll see. I don't really know how to put expectations on B.J. Thurman going into this year. Yeah, not this, you know, not this year. Maybe this will be our Hank Beatty, and then October, it's like, oh, wow, B.J. Thurman's really doing his thing. The thing that I keep coming back to, one, there's clearly opportunity at tight end. That's why we talked about a running back switching to tight end. Other than the physical gifts that Caden Fagan has, we've talked about him as a real rotation player, if not maybe even your second tight end, because the opportunity is so clearly there at that position. But I do, the thing that I can't really get over, and I'm interested in how this works. We have seen, I just need to see Illinois play tight ends who maybe aren't as good at the line of scrimmage as they would hope, because they can stretch the field. Like, we've seen ideas of that. Cole Rusk didn't really take off and manifest at Illinois. Like, you keep going back, like, oh, this guy could maybe be that downfield threat. That's been the thing we've talked about for even before Brett, right? It's been like a 10-year thing we've talked about with Illinois. Daniel Barker was in there. But what's the willingness, the appetite to play these guys? What's the baseline level of blocking
that's it
you have to give to be able to be, you know, out on the field?
Because it doesn't make – one of the biggest parts of why the tight ends are becoming so big in today's offense is, one, you can run so damn well out of it. And as defenses are getting smaller to match the 11 personnel, the spread out things, you add a tight end to the mix and you can run the hell out of the football, but also you can pass the ball. So there was no question Cole Rusk was the best pass catcher, but when did all those catches come? It's when Illinois was behind by a couple touchdowns against Ohio State, against Washington. That's when his production came. But Illinois clearly did not trust him enough to be a consistent blocker in their normal game situations where they weren't trying to, you know, catch up. But it's clear Luke Altmyer had a bunch of trust in him. So it was interesting that Cole didn't gain any more playing time. I think he's going to play a big role at Arizona. But yes, can Thurman do enough of that? Can Fagan do enough of that as blockers to gain that trust to where you can play those guys in 12 personnel and you feel like you have an advantage? Otherwise, Barry Loney's probably going to lean into 11 personnel because I'd just rather have the best wide receivers. I'd rather have Hank Beatty on the field than Cole Rusk, right? Because, like, hey, we might not be running the ball as well, but if they have to worry about Hank Beatty, who's not a great blocker, but they're so worried about Hank that we'll find some running lanes and elsewhere. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I trust Barry Loney with those decisions, of course, with all the things they've been doing. But I don't think it's just like, yes, we need a pass-catching tight end who can't block, because you can have a slot receiver on the field. But if you can have –
and you're just telegraphing things, right, that point?
Yeah, and if you can have a pass-catching tight end who's also a pretty good blocker, that's awesome. Like, and that's what makes these tight ends – so valuable. Like, and the competition to find the tight ends who can do both, like a Max Sutter, is so intense.
That's exactly right, and that's why a lot of tight ends, once you get past the top 15 nationally, maybe 20, that's why a lot of it you kind of have to have, when you're recruiting in that next tier, maybe the tier below that, you got to kind of have a vision, right? You got to think outside the box a little bit. Christian Abney was a quarterback in high school, but hey, he looks good. Maurice Smith was a quarterback in college. We'll see what that looks like. You've got to maybe find someone who can do one thing and see how well you can coach them to do the other thing, because after the first, that top tier, guys don't do both. You either block really well or you pass the ball or you catch the ball really well. Not very often. The ones who do both are either five stars or maybe even like a Will Vala, a little bit undersized, yeah, where that would maybe turn some teams away. But yeah, that's just the nature of the position a little bit. I just don't know what the baseline is. What, and like, I don't know how you quantify that either. Like, I don't know if we ask Barry Lunny or Jared Elliott what that is, how you would reasonably quantify, like, hold your own. Well, what's that mean? You know, so like, it's kind of an open-ended question because there's no real answer to it. You kind of got to see it to know.
Until I hear something or see him, like, I would think his role this year would be kind of like a Carson Goda. No, it's like a third tight end who goes in, sure, there and can give you some reps, 100 snaps, give you some catches. He's obviously a little longer than Carson Goda. But then long-term, maybe he can be more dynamic because he gets stronger, becomes a better blocker, adjusts to the Big Ten. So I would expect more of a big impact in 27, 28, of course. 26, I think he can play a role. I still think it's Abney, Fagan, Stoffel are going to be the highest impact tight ends. But as we talked about, like, you need three tight ends in the rotation. Illinois played four, and when you have injuries, you need another guy. So I think B.J. Thurman's definitely a talent upgrade over what they had behind, right? Because is Tanner Hollinger ready to make an impact? I'm not sure. Is Logan Farrell or Grant Smith or is Will Vala actually ready as a true freshman to make an impact? You had a guy like B.J. Thurman, I think it really upgrades that depth, especially as you get late in the season.
Yeah, 100%, and it's clear that Illinois was relatively aggressive in looking for a tight end after spring ball. And, of course, when you don't have that spring portal window anymore, you got to get a little bit creative or look around, some turn up some other rock, whether that's
basketball
JUCO
players
in this case or basketball players in another case. So, yeah, it's, they needed more competition in that room. I'm with you. I don't know exactly what to expect of B.J. Thurman this year, because I think the top three is pretty clear cut.
The last thing I want to get, and then we'll get into basketball. The JUCO thing is, like, Illinois is committed to this. And I think it's a little scary for Illinois fans who have been around for about 12, 15 years. Because during Tim Beckman's staff, they were just, you talk about flyers, they were just taking warm bodies back then. Guys who really were not Big Ten level players. I mean, there's been some flyers, like Prince Ford is one that comes to mind, right? They've missed on some JUCO targets here. There was a DB they missed, like Channing Canada.
Will Lees.
Yeah, Will Lees, an offensive lineman. This class, though, Micah Madelau was the number one JUCO guard. Jaquan Morris, the number one JUCO corner. TJ Taylor, the number two JUCO offensive tackle. Alfred Washington, number four JUCO offensive tackle. Now you get Thurman, who had offers from Ole Miss and Kansas State. And you've offered a couple of defensive linemen who don't have other Power 4 offers. Deion Williams, Joshua Davis. I would expect Illinois adds at least one of those JUCO defensive linemen. But they have made inroads at those JUCOs, and they have scouted them heavily. And Brett Bielema, where does he recruit? When he gets a bye week, he goes straight to the JUCOs to check them out. Pat Embleton, the general manager, goes to those JUCOs and checks them out. So they've been pretty committed to that JUCO level, Joey. And not that they're cheap when they're recruited that heavily, but maybe not as expensive as some of the Division I transfers. But also, they just have really good ties there, and they seem to sell really well to those guys, given that they've produced some JUCO talent for the NFL too.
Yeah, I think the transfer portal has made that a little bit more of a, you know, a more accessible market. If you're looking kind of in that tier where your Illinois is, just around how you're building out your roster, so that makes sense on that front. And it's not the December, you know, those like first signing window JUCOs I think twice about in terms of being like your Madelaus, your Washingtons, your Taylors. Those guys were in that first window for a reason. Like, you want to get that ink dried on paper so you can have them, because they were heavily recruited. They were recruited, you know, in a Power 4 recruiting battle. So those guys typically you don't – like Caleb Patterson I think was in that conversation of being a productive player. Yeah. At Illinois, it's the ones, you know, the JUCO additions after you get out of spring ball, where, you know, guys who didn't maybe sign that first window that are just by nature a little bit more of a flyer. You're seeing traits that you're liking. You're betting on some of those traits. Maybe you need to fill a position in the case of some of the guys that you mentioned. That doesn't mean those guys are all not going to pan out, but I think there's probably a little bit more of a risk involved in some of those guys.
Kellen Francis was one of those, right?
Yeah, offensive defensive linemen have been a place for Brett Bielema, Pat Embleton, Bart Miller, you know, was Terrence Jameson, mostly offensive line in those JUCO ranks, those November to December JUCO windows. So yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of two different JUCOs that I think about in terms of how how recruited those guys are. And then there's guys like BJ Thurman who put up good numbers and he got more attention later on in the year. Maybe you realize you can be a you're good to go after 1 year, not two, whatever the case is. Everyone's got their own JUCO story in that regard. There's one other point. And then I think you got to look without that spring window. Like that is going to be a JUCO. I think that's when, if you're a JUCO, maybe that's when some of those guys start to get going, is after
the
that
freshman,
spring window. Right?
Those freshmen all of a sudden have a market for them. It's like, hey, we got spots. We need some depth. We need somebody who can help us. Maybe you need to develop for a year. And I think Thurman's one of those guys. Then he's added strength for another year and maybe would have been higher recruited next year. But an SEC program like Ole Miss goes, hey, we need another tight end, or a Big Ten program like Illinois goes, we need one more tight end. It's a pretty productive thing for them, those freshman JUCOs in the spring. Like, hey, I can make that leap now.
That's 100% what it is. It's the freshmen who, after 1 year, now have an opportunity to go develop in a Power 4 weight program, a nutrition program, and maybe your playing time isn't there, but your development is heightened during that stretch. So yeah, that's a much better way of what I rambled to try to say, because I think that's going to be that's going to be an interesting spring market these next few cycles to see how it shakes out.
Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. So how do you kick off the summer season? Sprucing up the backyard, cleaning up the grill, planning quality time in the sunshine. Does summer begin for you once you hear the roar of the grill lighting up for the first time? If so, it's time to bust out the tongs and enjoy USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, and more from Omaha Steaks. The Omaha Steaks Memorial Day sale is going on right now, and you can get 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, you get an extra $35 off with promo code Illini at checkout. Terms apply, see site for details. But I love Omaha Steaks. They sent me their Burger Perfection Pack here recently. Been grilling up some of their great burgers. I love the sirloin burgers, which not only are really delicious, but also pretty good for you. High in protein, a little lower in the calories, but check out their Burger Perfection Pack for $79.99. But all Omaha Steaks products are great. Some of the tenderest steaks you'll have, but also fish, chicken, pork chops. It's all at omahasteaks.com. And right now, get 50% off site-wide during their Memorial Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code Illini at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com with promo code Illini at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Illinois basketball. NBA Draft Combine is going on this week. I was up there on Wednesday, got to catch up with Keaton Wagler, his top 10 NBA draft pick, and Andre Stojakovic, who's got to decide about his stay or go decision. Also, Kylan Boswell. I already got stories up on Stojakovic and Wagler. You can check those out at IlliniInquirer.com, and I'm putting one together on Boswell right now. But obviously, Andre Stojakovic was the number one topic that Illini fans wanted to know about. It was our first chance to catch up with him since we found out he declared for the NBA draft just a couple weeks after he announced he would return to Illinois. So kind of in limbo right now until Andre Stojakovic makes a final announcement, which would be on May 27th. But for people who haven't seen it yet, for the people on the podcast, we wanted to let you hear what Andre Stojakovic had to say, and then Joey and I will try and parse what we can from what Andre had to say. So here's Andre Stojakovic talking about his stay or go decision.
I'm in the draft with both feet in right now. I've been getting great feedback so far from the teams I've worked out for. I'm looking forward to go out and you know, with the mindset to kill every workout moving forward and then make a decision on the 27th.
If you go back to Illinois,
yep.
What are the chances Illinois could go back to the Final Four?
That's the goal. Go back to the Final Four and then strive for a national championship. Understanding what we have back at Illinois is extremely special. Just got to make the right decision.
How did you come into this process? Were you leaning either way? Is it a complete open mind when you come into this?
Making it to the NBA has been a dream of mine since I was young. Doing this for myself, committing to it until I'm not anymore, is something that I've been approaching constantly, and I'm just looking forward to the feedback I get moving forward.
When you announced you were coming back to Illinois, was this always part of the plan, Andre, and if so, why?
I think announcing coming back to Illinois was more so, you know, having a plan either way. I love Illinois. I loved it this year, and if I do go back, I'm looking forward to making hopefully more history with the team. But yeah, it's just for my peace of mind, knowing that, you know, obviously it's a dream of mine, but understanding that there is a chance that I'm going to go back, and I'm looking forward to participating in another Final Four, hopefully.
What would be the draw of going back? You know, when you sit down and decide, like, what are the positives of that?
Of going back?
Yeah.
Another year of proving what I can do, coming back even more ready next year if I do decide to go back to school. I think one thing that I showed this year is being able to adjust my role and making the winning impact when I'm not having the ball constantly like I'm used to. Pretty much it. Continue to grow.
All right. There's Andre Stojakovic. And here's what I would say. It is our job to go and ask these questions, right? Because we had a chance to talk to him. He hasn't talked publicly about why he's declaring for the draft, what his thought process is. The number one thing I took away from this, Joey, was that he did not say, I'm staying in the draft. He did not say that. And usually, that is the news. If a guy's saying, hey, I'm deciding what I'm going to do, like, that's what a guy has to say. Like, you're going to say I'm both feet in on this process. If you're not committed to this process of figuring out going through the draft, like, why are you doing it? Right? So every guy wants to make the NBA. Until he's told I'm not a top 40, top 45 draft pick, like, that guy should go through the process and be committed to it. You have to have that mindset. Otherwise, you're just half-assing it, right? But there are other guys like Henry Vissar and some other players who said, I'm staying in the draft. Like, this is what I'm doing. That's fine. Like, that is definite. Like, he's going to stay. Now, you could say LeBaron Fylan said he was going to stay in the draft last year and he didn't, but that is a big outlier. Illinois fans, you can parse what you want out of that. I don't think anything's changed. I really don't. I think Andre, what has changed is that some guys have pulled out of the draft, so maybe Andre could be the 50th pick or the 46th pick or something like that. He would probably be drafted in the second round. What hasn't changed is I think he would make way more money guaranteed at Illinois. And I still think Illinois feels like the most likely thing is that Andre Stojakovic will come back. But until he says that on May 27th, I understand. There's going to be a lot of anxiety about it because he's so important to their team. And you can't go find another Andre Stojakovic. Now, maybe I am underestimating what Illinois can do because they lost Merez Johnson and found David Mirkovic last year, but it's hard to find that player out there in the market right now. But I still think it's most likely that Andre Stojakovic will be back at Illinois, but in the meantime, we wait.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed. Andre said a lot of words, and you know, that's media training, right? I mean, he didn't say anything one way or the other on that decision. I agree on everything that you said. It still makes more sense. And I'm glad you clarified that if he stays in the draft, which I'd also would not expect, he is going to get drafted. That's not the discussion we're having here. It's not about if he's a draft pick. It's about if it makes sense long-term to where you're going to be drafted. Is that a guaranteed deal? Do you have staying power in the league? What's the money attached to that? Versus coming back to Illinois, where you're going to have a premier role, where you're going to be able to show a lot of a completeness of your game, where you can win a lot of games and get paid handsomely for doing so. Like, that's the conversation, I think, at the heart of all of this. And yeah, he should go through this process. I will say, I found it interesting that he didn't play in the 5-on-5. usually guys who are not playing in the 5-on-5 are your top 25 picks, right? Yeah. Somewhere in that top neighborhood.
If you're a first-round pick, you're probably not playing on it. High second-round picks sometimes don't even play in it. The guys who are playing in it are guys who still have something to prove, or guys that are committed to staying in the draft and trying to up their – so you can look at it. The fretting fan, Joe, would say, oh, my gosh, was he promised? Is he higher draft pick than we think? Me, I would think he doesn't want to get hurt, right? He said he does right. not think it would move the needle. It would move the needle even if he played well in those, which I mostly agree with. They have 3 years of college film to break down, I think is more important now. I think Cameron Carr from Baylor showed he could help himself a lot. Dalen Swain helped himself a lot by playing in a game. Just kind of solidify who you are, shows what you are as a competitor. But I don't think a shooting drill was going to help Andre Stojakovic, even if he shot well. He didn't shoot all that well. I didn't think an athletic drill, because anybody who's watched Andre Stojakovic, two games of him, knows he's very, very athletic. They have so much film on him. I think the workouts, the interviews really, really matter. But yeah, like, what did you take away from him not doing 5-on-5?
Well, I don't think he's got a first-round guarantee, right? Like, that's just not anywhere that we've seen him projected. So if you don't have that and you don't think it's going to move the needle to push you into that top end of the second round, like, does he maybe have a top end of the second round guarantee? I don't – that's just not where he's been projected. Like, it's not like some, a lot of these guys who do these mocks, all of them, for the most part, the good ones, are plugged in, right? You're not just throwing darts at a board and hoping you land on one or two. You're talking to people. You're getting feedback. You're getting intel. And he's just not mocked that high in the second round at this point. And you would think – so I don't – to me, that's like, okay, if you're maybe protecting yourself from getting hurt and you don't think it's going to move the needle enough, where do you see yourself? Like, where does Andre Stojakovic see Andre Stojakovic as a potential draft pick? Because I don't – to not participate in that tells me he kind of has a pretty good idea of where he's going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's just – I would be surprised. I think a lot of people in Illinois, a lot of people in the NBA would be surprised if Andre Stojakovic stayed in the draft. Now, I can't tell you with certainty, right? Because I'm not Andre right. Stojakovic, so I can't quell every fear out there. But it wouldn't make a lot of sense. It would not make a lot of sense for him to pass up millions of dollars to play college basketball for the chance to get a guaranteed contract that would pay him half of what he'd make at Illinois. At worst, a two-way deal, which would pay him half of half, right? And not even guaranteed, just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, and the other thing I want to point out, we've not heard.
And I know his father. I know his father's a former NBA player that has multi-million dollars. I get it, but still, it's not good business.
That's right. I think in terms of either Buzz, in particular, you may have heard, or just people who cover Illinois, or people who cover this nationally. There has been not even the smallest rumbling that Illinois is searching for someone of a similar role.
I have not
for Andre Stojak. And like, and I say that because you could probably sneaky add back into the bench piece, and then all of a sudden it just pops on Twitter that, like, you know, Mihailo Petrovic, not now was he, who am I thinking? Nico Moretti. Remember that day? It was, he just popped up. It's like, oh yeah, he committed. Or Tony Bilic. Like, you can do that quietly. If you're looking for someone who would fill the role of Andre Stojakovic, that's not a quiet move. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody somewhere would have gotten some buzz that, hey,
like Kentucky right now. Kind of
making some quiet moves here.
Like Kentucky right now. They are searching for a potential replacement to Malachi Moreno, right? Like, loudly, because you can't not go after centers of that caliber loudly. Like, it's just, it's going,
that's the thing.
It's
like, going when to get out. The usage, the production that you're talking about, the potential to replace him, you can't do that quietly. Someone, whether it's an agent or another school, is going, hey, here, Illinois is kicking. Somehow that gets, especially some of the national players, that gets kicked back. I've not read a single word of that. And if Illinois is not, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to read too far into the tea leaves. I just don't feel like you can do that quietly. And if you're not hearing it, what's that telling you?
Based on what I've heard and just based on reason, I would be surprised if he does not return to Illinois. I cannot guarantee that. So we will wait and see what he does. But nothing he said told me
anything
changed. That anything has changed since we learned that he declared for the NBA draft and said that he was going to come back to Illinois for another year. So I still think it's very likely that Andrej Stojakovic plays at Illinois next year.
The big thing I took away was he's really taking this all the way to May 27th, huh? We're going to run this all the way down the wire, to the wire, I suppose.
Get two announcements from Andrej Stojakovic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. And I, again, like, he's a very smart person. I don't know that you would do the whole pomp and circumstance video the first time around if you really, really thought you were out of here.
Is there a second video? Is there another second I'm back video? Or is it just
saying? Same thing. Just run. Or they were saving the news just bleeping broke for that one. Whatever they're going to do. Listen, you're right. We can't guarantee anything. We just, our best we can do is try to break down the reasons that we think he will come back and how those reasons would make sense.
And based on whatever, right? Like, I think it's very, very, like, just people I talk with that they still think he's coming back too, but.
No. Well, we have to acknowledge maybe an NBA team gets froggy, right? Well,
that's what somebody brought up to me. The Sacramento Kings do some crazy things. So what if the Sacramento Kings just say, hey, we're going to take you? But it would surprise me.
I don't know. We'll see. See you in 13 days, I suppose, on Andrej Stojakovic Watch. We'll call this day one.
Panda Watch. We've all been there. Hunger strikes and you're exhausted. There's something healthy in your fridge and pantry that you should be making, but you just don't have it in you. For me, eating healthy isn't a willpower problem, it's a setup problem. Until I found Factor. Factor solves your setup problem with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs delivered right to your door. With Factor, I'm hitting my nutrition goals this season without the planning, grocery runs, or cooking. The great part is it's great nutrition. Factor has meals built around your goals, whether that's weight loss, overall nutrition, more protein, or GLP-1 support. And for strength and workout recovery, check out Factor's Muscle Pro Collection. Also, every meal is crafted with functional ingredients, and they taste delicious. They're fresh, never frozen, and they have over 100 rotating weekly meals, including globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean and Asian, so there's always something new to look forward to. And it's just so convenient. Ready in 2 minutes, Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door, so you have more time for everything you love this spring. So, head to factormeals.com/Illini50off and use code Illini50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27, 2026. That's factormeals.com/Illini50off and use code Illini50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Quentin Coleman. What a rise. He got bumped up to number 35 in our last rankings from, like, what, 80 or something like that? Now in our last rankings of 24/7 Sports, gets moved up to number 13, all the way from 35 to 13. He's a five-star prospect. As long as 24/7 Sports has been around, that is the highest ranking a player that Illinois has signed, has had. That's since D. Brown, so 2003. So since then, he is the highest ranked. He is tied rating-wise with Will Riley. So Will Riley and Quentin Coleman are the highest ranked prep prospects Illinois has signed. Joey, that was a pretty big addition. Pretty good player. And what's great is he has high expectations, but I think Illinois has surrounded him with a roster where he doesn't need to be Keaton Wagler. He shouldn't be counted on to be Keaton Wagler. But if he is, great. Like, Illinois will be awesome. But this is a heck of a get for Illinois to to lose Wagner maybe a year earlier than you thought you would and add a guy the caliber of Quinton Coleman, I think it speaks about Illinois' development, their brand now, their NBA development, and to get a guy like that, pretty big for the program.
Yeah, it's huge for the program, and it also tells – there's a couple points I want to make. First off, on January 4th, Quinton Coleman was ranked 90
there you go.
Overall by 24/7 Sports. On May 14th, he's 13. What a that's an incredible rise in the rankings in 4 months. Just an absurd rise. And so that's the first point. It's just – that's a good eval by Wake, too, and by Illinois. And then to see – what he has now turned into. And the other thing,
poor Wake Forest. Sorry, continue going. I got a point about Wake Forest later. I don't want to
go ahead. Because my point is actually a different level. So go with that. Okay. It makes more sense here.
One, him rising, Xavier Zen also gets a 4-star. Is Illinois basketball, like, do fans realize that all the things they complain about with football, like if he commits to Illinois instead of Ohio State, he's lower in the rankings, which, hey, I do think there's probably a little bit of truth to that. Well, Illinois basketball, you get the benefit of the doubt. You commit to Illinois, you get raised in the rankings. Also, Illinois can just bully teams like Wake Forest. You know, like Michigan can come in and steal Camel Potty, but Illinois basketball can go in and steal a guy like Quinton Coleman.
Yeah, it's good work if you can find it, right, to be that team to come in and – you know, play the card to win some of those recruitments late in the process and flip someone. The other thing, we're talking about the number 13th ranked player in the class, a no doubt impact player as a freshman. And this Illinois roster is so good that there are so many pieces in place that you don't need him to be a megastar day one. You don't need him to be what Io was as a freshman. You don't need him to be what Kofi was as a freshman. You have David Mirkovich, Tomislav Ivicic, Stefan Box, we believe Andre Stojakovic, right? You have all of these guys in place that whatever you get out of Quinton Coleman, the 13th ranked player in the class, feels like the cherry on top. That is legitimate roster construction. That is a very, very good roster, which is not breaking news. We expect them to be in the top five of most preseason polls. But just think about what that means, that you have a 5-star number 13 player come in. It's like, boy, it'd be good if he was really, really good. But you don't need that necessarily to be a very good team. You probably need that to make that Final Four.
That's right.
Return. But you don't need that to be a top tier of the Big Ten team. You just hope he is as good as that, and that can push you back to the Final Four.
Yeah, like, I mean, if he's Keaton Wagner, yes, you're national title contender, right? Like, you can get to that level. But if he's like a DJ Richardson or like LeBaron Filon was as a freshman, like, that's a very good player on a very good team. And then as a sophomore, can take another leap. But this guy is good enough that he could be a one-and-done. You could have 3 straight years of one-and-done type players. So what a rise, you're right. I mean, the year he had with Principia, the Missouri Gatorade Player of the Year, Max Preps first team All-American, Jordan, the Iverson Classic MVP as well after getting 31 points, 12 rebounds. We've had Eric Bostine, Adam Finkelstein the last couple weeks breaking down their game, so go back to those pods as well. But good to see Xavier Zenz leap in the rankings. He deserved that after winning Mr. Wisconsin Basketball and then Max Preps, third-team All-American, 3 straight state titles. He's now number 124 in the 24/7 sports rankings. He was around 250 before that, so huge leap for him. Lucas Murillo rises 8 spots to number 52 in the latest rankings. And Ethan Brown's number 169. Landon Davis, number 247. Number 6 prep recruiting class in the composite rankings here, Joey. So, it's just a different level. Illinois' talent accrual, man. And it's interesting that instead of all the Euros, because you retained your Euros, it was a big prep class. I would imagine next year, Europe will be back for Illinois. They'll add several Europeans to next year's roster after they lose some of these guys. But what a haul of talent you've brought in with Stefan Vox and this recruiting class.
Yeah, and a little bit of everything too, right? You threaded the needle on all 3 talent roster construction pools there, where you have your retention, and that was the story of the offseason for Illinois basketball, was getting all of those guys back. You go into the portal, you fill out the portal, not with a huge number, but with Stephon Vaux, who you expect to be a starter and a very, very good player for Illinois. Then you build this freshman class that really, in theory, should be your next retention class, right? And those are the guys that you get to, especially some of your Landon Davis, your Xavier Zins, your Ethan Browns, who those are your guys that you really can develop and keep bringing them back, letting them grow in their role and their ability. And then you go in and you get a Quentin Coleman and Lucas Murillo who should be guys who play as freshmen. Coleman, of course, will. You kind of lived a little bit in all of those worlds here. And we'll see. You're right. Next offseason might be the return to Europe for Illinois terms of talent accrual.
Yeah, probably going to need some centers. So, yeah, I would imagine they go back overseas. Because, I saw Luigi Sweego yesterday at the NBA draft, and it sounds like he's going to play in college, but that's a top 40 draft pick. Illinois, I think, would have gotten him if the Ivicic, one of the Ivicic boys left. So you could have had him adding the Italian big man, who's an NBA draft prospect already. They're tied in. That pipeline will continue at some point. All right, last thing I want to hit on, Illinois, Duke, beginning a home and home next season. Illinois will play in Durham on November 17th, which they played there in, 2020? Or is it 2021? 21, the COVID season. And it was Jalen Johnson's team. Illinois went in there and hammered them. But Duke will be coming to State Farm Center on December 4th, 2027. What a game. What an environment that is going to be. But this team gets to go experience Cameron Indoor this year. I freaking love what Brad Underwood is doing with the schedule. I love what is happening in college basketball, where these powerhouses are scheduling each other. UConn's going nuts. Florida's going nuts. Like Texas Tech, all these programs. Tennessee, big-time games. And Illinois is not done with this schedule. Let's see. We got Duke, UConn up at the United Center, Missouri. Illinois goes to Texas Tech this year. They got Tennessee coming to United Center. Next year is a return game from Nashville. I've heard there's two more that are coming, and they're going to be big-time opponents, Joey. This is awesome. This is great when you get these kind of matchups.
Yeah, it's really fun. Credit to Brad Underwood for leaning into these opportunities and for getting Illinois as a program where this makes sense for Duke to have this marquee game and for whatever TV network is going to broadcast it. This is all appealing from an appetite standpoint for the opponents and for the TV people. And that's how you get some of those big non-con games. I think that Duke return game to the State Farm Center has potential to be the drunkest game at the State Farm Center since Wake. Is that fair? Like, that is going to be to a party.
Yeah, because it's different. Even though Tennessee was like the number one team in the country coming in, Texas Tech was a ranked team, it's Duke, right? It's going to be a top five, top 10 team, but it's just Duke. So, like, to have that opportunity, that crowd's going to be riled up, man.
I love the, neutral site games have their place. They're financially appealing for teams to go to these, and
the TV networks love them. They love having them there. And yes, Illinois gets a lot of money for doing those games on neutral sites.
And frankly, from a scheduling standpoint, you're not on the hook for the next year too. You can do it as a one-off and move it along. Home and homes, like
the Arkansas.
At this level, you're probably not going to someone's place. Like, you're not going to Duke if Duke's not coming back to you. So now you're in a two-year kind of scheduling. You've got one baked in. You can do a quick little one-off game, big game, neutral site, get paid, move it along. So to see some of those home and homes pop back up is really, really cool, because I think the Tennessee atmosphere was awesome. The Texas Tech atmosphere was awesome. And I would assume we were at the game in Knoxville. It was similar there. Yeah. And I would assume it's going to be similar in Lubbock this year. So just getting these games on college campuses, as many hurdles as are in place to doing so, it's very, very fun.
And I wish they were all home and homes. Like, personally, it's college basketball. I love having college basketball environments. Now, kudos to Illinois fans. They make it college basketball environments wherever it is. But I wish they were all home and homes, but the TV networks have such an impact here. That's why they do it. Plus, there is, it prepares you for neutral site games in March. And I think Brad Underwood's a big believer in that. But we do have to pause here and just say, Duke and UConn and Tennessee want Illinois in these series. Like, that's where Illinois is as a program. That Duke and UConn especially. UConn's a blue blood, right? Like, Duke is a blue blood, obviously. Those schools want you, and Duke is willing to go to your place, right? And, like, it's a fair trade. Illinois's come a long way, Joey.
Seems like a big deal to me, right? Like, Illinois is a program that's going to get these teams better.
Yes.
By playing them in the non-conference
like
schedule.
They're like, yeah, let's play that team because their offense, like, that's going to challenge us. And if we can handle that, like, we're going to be able to handle a lot of teams. Like, the fact that Dan Hurley, you can hate him, unbelievable coach. He's the best coach in the game right now. John Shire thinks a really good coach. Obviously, he's had some issues in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, but he's gotten the Elite Eight and Final Four. Those are really good coaches, and they run really good stuff. So the fact that those coaches want to go up against Illinois and think that's a challenge that's going to help their teams, I think that's a big tip of the cap to Brad Underwood.
Yeah, just go back and look at some of the early Underwood, the first three Underwood years of non-con scheduling and what was appealing to other programs, right? I mean, it was obviously the FAU game. You think back to that game, that was the Kopey game and before FAU went on its run. Like, that's what you were talking. You're talking about the low majors and then maybe some of those mid-major, but otherwise, at that point in time, you weren't the most attractive from a TV standpoint, weren't the most attractive from a, hey, everybody's going to get better from this standpoint, a neutral site standpoint. And now you're getting some really freaking good basketball games. Yeah, in November, December.
Yeah, early on you're really relying on the Big Ten ACC Challenge and the Gavitt games, yep, to give you some good opponents. And then you got Arizona on that home-and-home, and they handled you in both of those. But then you're able to get Baylor in the Jimmy V Classic, and you kind of became a constant in the Jimmy V Classic. And ever since then, man, as the program's established itself as a premier one, Brad has just scheduled the toughest teams in the country, and he ain't done yet. So it's going to be – it's a lot of fun when you have these games in November. Sometimes they get into January, too. So it's going to be fun to see the schedule kind of flesh out. But got one of the best teams, best rosters in the country, especially if Andre does come back. And they're going to be challenged, man. So we get to see how they stack up against these great teams.
Fun times, dude. Good times. It's fun times for this.
Good times. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else? What's next on the moving agenda?
I'm going to pack the kitchen as soon as we can keep this pod rolling as I pack the kitchen and curse and break glasses, certainly, if you want to do that.
All right, good luck with that, Joey. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, everybody, for listening to the Illini Choir podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube if you're watching. Hit that like button below, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell for Joey Wagner. I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Choir podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?